Good morning, Dad.
For this brother who comes before us. Father, we pray that we would see less of him and more of you. We pray that you would give him your words and that he would speak in boldness and ways to challenge and to help us, to guide us. We just thank you that you've given him these gifts. We pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Sam.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, come on. Dave was giving you a hint. Good morning.
Good morning.
See, we're aiming for equal. This morning, my wife got up early to bring our friend Nate over to rehearse music before they started this morning. Hey, Nate. And as she was going, at the corner of our street, there was a taxi parked in the dead center of the road on the yellow line. Okay? And she said she saw the taxi driver's feet out the passenger side window where he was getting a shoe shine. Right there. So she looked at that and proceeded to pass all the way over to the side very slowly so that she would not hit the shoe shine guy who was shining the shoes of the taxi driver sitting in the middle of the road. The taxi driver yelled at her for passing on that side rather than passing on the wrong side where he thought there would have been more room and wouldn't endanger his shoe shine guy. I also want to say quickly that I took two taxis this week, and both of them were awesome experiences. One, I got to sit next to a five-year-old who was starting school, first day of school, and that was fantastic. And the other, the taxi driver was 66 and had been driving a taxi for 45 years. And I always, when I take a taxi, ask how long they've been driving, and he was very happy with his 45 years. So I don't want to stereotype. I've had some wonderful taxi rides here in Nicaragua, but I just thought that was amazing. I thought that was amazing as far as not only am I parked in the center of the road, not only am I not driving my car, not only am I getting a shoe shine while parked in the center of the road not driving my car, but I would prefer that you do the less legal thing to convenience me as I relax and get my shoe shine. I have no idea if that's going to tie into the sermon, but I just thought it was such an amazing thing this morning that I needed to share it. We'll see. Reading from 2 Corinthians 5, starting in chapter 14. Sorry, starting in verse 14, chapter 5. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Lifestyle evangelism. When I was in college, our Christian fellowship, which was a pretty big group, we had some retreats where everyone was required to play Ultimate Frisbee. Who has played Ultimate Frisbee in here? I have played Ultimate Frisbee. I love Ultimate Frisbee. Ultimate Frisbee is played 7-on-7 if you're doing it correctly. You can play it like 10-on-10 if you have a pretty big field like we do sometimes on Sundays and stretch out. We would play 25-on-25 or 30-against-30. And some of us hated it. Some of us were required to play and despised every moment of it. I enjoyed it. I like this sport. But some people really didn't have fun. Now, the moral of my story is not you should all play Ultimate. The moral of my story is that actually, Ultimate is not for everyone. And that's a fairly difficult form of Ultimate to enjoy, even if you like the game. Making people play Ultimate who don't like Ultimate is questionable at best. However, everyone should exercise. And I know the should word is a dangerous one, but I'm going to go ahead and use that. Not to induce guilt, but here's the thing. Everyone should breathe, right? Like, I'm not going to move off that one. You can argue with me for a while, but I'm going to say everyone should breathe. Breathing is important, and you should do that. Everyone should exercise. You're designed to exercise. Your body needs it. You will live a more full life if you exercise. So I hope you hear that and you think, yeah, we do need exercise. That's how our bodies work. That's pretty good, healthy advice. I hope you don't think, jerk, you're so controlling. Who are you to tell me what to do with my body? Like, you have any business deciding that I should exercise. I'm never exercising. I'll show you. Now again, as far as I understand exercise, this is how God has made us. But there are a vast range of ways to exercise. My friend Jeff Izzo is here this morning. My friend Jeff Izzo, he really loves to exercise. He's preparing, he's training for a race. How far is your race? 50 kilometers. Jeff Izzo is preparing for a 50-kilometer race. How do you feel about that? He enjoys it. He enjoys it, running 50 kilometers. How many people, when you hear Jeff is going to run 50 kilometers, think, oh, I'm going to do that too? How many people hear Jeff's going to run 50 kilometers? If I was given a choice between running 50 kilometers and being staked to a fire anthill with honey on me, it's kind of a toss-up. Like, pretty close. I don't know. Really can't decide. Right? Now, if I told you, you must exercise, you should exercise, God made you to exercise, you have to run 50 kilometers, you'd be depressed, unless you're a wonderful freak like him, right? Because not all of us were designed to run 50 kilometers and enjoy that. God didn't make us all the same. We're not all wired that way. Jeff gets crazier than that. He did this other race that went over 24 hours, and he was hauling massive pieces of bamboo and swimming for hours, and ask him about it. He had a good time. Nate Izzo, on the other hand, his favorite sport is dodgeball, and his other favorite exercise is drumming, right? Those are very different than running 50 kilometers, and that's what he enjoys, and they give him life. Neither of them has to be the other person. Does that make sense to you? You don't have to play Ultimate. You should exercise. But there are so many ways to exercise. My wife hates competitive sports, but she loves yoga. And she gets a lot out of it. She stretches, and it's slow and flowing. And She does what's good for her body, and it gives her life. So, of course, we're talking about exercise, but we're also talking about the other E word this morning, aren't we? And what is that word? Really? Nobody? Evangelism. Right? That E word. And honestly, I think this analogy works pretty well. Because for a lot of people, you hear the word evangelism, and instantly, how does that make you feel? Like, kind of uncomfortable, kind of guilty, like the thing we should do, but we don't do, or we don't do enough, or we don't do well enough. And I think many of us have heard sermons, probably too many, guilt-inducing, you need to get your tail out there and do this sermons on evangelism. Anybody heard a sermon like that ever? I have several in the back of my, oh man, you guys have been to much healthier churches than I have. That's awesome. No one has heard a guilt-inducing evangelism sermon. Wow. I also noticed that 3/4 of you with the hand raising are introverts. So that's helpful for me to know. We've been taught, many of us, that evangelism basically takes one form. Or maybe a couple forms, all of which are right in that run 50 kilometers range. Right? You can get out and go door to door. You can get a megaphone and you can shout on a street corner. Right? You can approach strangers on buses. So go ahead, introverts, any of those three. Whichever of those three you're going to enjoy the most. Right? Or you could just take the steak to the anthill basted with honey. Right? Any of those. Much like exercise, if we limit it to one narrow thing that some people enjoy and the rest of us would rather die, we're not going to do it. Let's just be honest. We're not doing that. And then we're going to feel guilty that we don't do that. And then we're going to kind of resent that we feel guilty. Here's an absolute statement that I will stand by. Guilt bears bad fruit. Guilt bears rotten fruit. Now, it is certainly true that if applied properly, guilt can cause people to do things. However, in the long term, what happens is people get resentful, people grow bitter, and if this is a spiritual thing, people grow further away from God. That's the result of guilt. Guilt bears bad fruit. What you know for certain is that the gospel does not bear the fruit of resentment, bitterness, and growing distant from God. And therefore, this is a false gospel. Anything that causes you guilt and leads to those things in you is not the true gospel. There's something warped, something lying in the midst of that. And we all know who the father of lies is. To be clear, I'm not talking about like conviction of sin, which certainly is horribly uncomfortable. I'm talking about guilt of the, here's what you should do, that you need to do, that you hate doing, but you've got to run 50 kilometers because God says you need to. That kind of guilt. Are you tracking with me? Yes? So please hear me. For Jesus' followers, for all of Jesus' followers, sharing Jesus is a healthy, life-giving thing that we should do. There is no Christian life solo. There is no me and Jesus, and I don't have to worry about the community or the outside world. That doesn't exist. That is also a false gospel. There is no knowing Jesus apart from the people with whom I'm connected. We are the body. And we are the body in the world that desperately needs the life of Jesus. Sharing Jesus is this really big thing, and that's why we're doing a series on it, right? We share Jesus in the breaking of the bread. We share Jesus as the priesthood of believers together. And we share Jesus with the people who don't know Jesus' love for them as a lifestyle. If you don't know that Jesus loves you, if you have not experienced that Jesus has forgiven you and gives you his life and gives you his resurrection, talk to someone here today who does. I would love to have that conversation with you. Absolutely, do that. But as we talk about the E word, as we talk about sharing Jesus, some people are gifted in evangelism. Have you met anybody who's gifted in evangelism? It is a wonder. They think in these terms constantly, and they're always getting in conversations with strangers, and they're always encountering people who want to know Jesus. And those people are coming to know Jesus. And you watch that and think, oh my gosh, that's how I should do it. And then I watch Jeff run, and I think, oh my gosh, that's how I should do it. And I run 5K, and I die. Because he's gifted at that, and I'm not in the same way. There are people who are gifted in evangelism, and praise God for that. And we bless them, and many of them will say, it's not even that big of a deal. It's not that hard. You know what? You always know when someone's gifted, when they do something that you know is really difficult, and they say, it's not that big a deal. It's not that hard at all. Right? That's a sign of you're gifted, and maybe a little oblivious that you're gifted. Right? For everyone else, sharing Jesus is like exercise. It's good for our hearts. It's good for our spiritual bodies. And what we need to find is, how am I wired to do this? Who am I? How has God made me that this is a natural, enjoyable activity for me? And not just an activity, but a healthy lifestyle, a way that I live. Sharing that love that is in us, around us, really is a matter of, okay, who is in my sphere? How has God wired me to be connected with others? And what are natural connections that I can simply share this? And our goal, as followers of God, as lovers of Jesus, is to discover how we're made, to discover who we are. That is an intrinsic part of following Jesus, and not just in terms of sharing Jesus with the world, right? That's part of Christian maturity, to know myself, to know who I am, to not hide from my darkness, to recognize my strengths, to be honest about that, to know myself. That is part of our calling. Now, if you say, but Mike, I really hate exercise. I just hate it. I hate it, and I never want to sweat, and I don't want to move, and I don't want to have to spend any time doing that. If you say to me, you know, Mike, really? I have no interest in sharing Jesus with anybody ever. We're in trouble. We're going to have a difficult conversation. The gospel works in the way that we are designed. We are designed for the gospel, right? We fit for the way that God made the gospel in the world, right? We are designed to receive Jesus' love. We are designed to be filled with Jesus' love and to be more joyful, alive people when we receive Jesus' love. So this is part of our wiring. This is part of our design. However, there's a difference between learning how we're designed and going with that design and expecting that everything accommodates us. The gospel is not made to accommodate us. there's a difference. Back to my analogy, there's a big difference between finding the exercise I love and deciding I never want to exercise, but somehow I should just be healthy and in shape anyway. There's a big difference between what I'm telling you, which is figure out who you are and the way that it's natural for you to share Jesus, and yeah, I don't want to do that. Or I'll only do that when it's really convenient and solely on my terms. I'm not trying to tell you that the gospel accommodates you. I'm trying to tell you, you are designed for the gospel, and learn how you're designed so that this is a joy for you. When we share Jesus, it's the natural expression of our love for God. And by natural, I don't mean that it just happens automatically without any intention or thought or effort on our part, though it can, because God's amazing. I mean, it's the outflowing of our lives. I took a class on evangelism in seminary, and the professor said, evangelism is simply living honestly and openly in front of people. Evangelism is simply living honestly and openly in front of people. If I know Jesus, if I really know Jesus and have God's Spirit residing in my heart, in my soul, if Jesus saturates my life, every part of my life, then you're going to have a hard time knowing me without finding that out. Right? Like, it's going to be a really narrow chunk of me that you can experience before that just comes to light. Because I'm trying to live honestly, I'm not forcing it on you, but you're going to find out. This is who I am. Jesus is who I am. Of course I will share Jesus, because Jesus is part of everything about me. Thus, I think there are really two parts to making sharing Jesus our lifestyle, like a consistent orientation of how we are in the world, how we relate with people. And mind you, I'm talking about two parts. I don't mean two techniques or two strategies. And I'm not naysaying that there are better ways to communicate and that there are helpful strategies for evangelism. I'm kind of talking about more general, this is how we live. Know yourself and grow in your love for God. Know yourself and grow in your love for God. So we've talked a little bit about knowing yourself. What are your passions? What are your joys? What are your gifts? What are your hobbies? How are you really looking forward to spending time? How are these connecting points with other people where you can live openly and let them see Jesus through you? I'm going to give you a few examples in my life. I do love playing Ultimate. I've played all my life. Well, I played all my adult life. I started at like 18. 18's been a long time ago. One of the things I love about Ultimate is that generally, Ultimate is a non-Christian culture. So generally, the very act of playing Ultimate at a moderately decent level means that I get a chance to share Jesus, because eventually they're going to hear, you're a what? You're a pastor? There's no way that a pastor plays Ultimate like that. Like, as if being a follower of Jesus should take away the ability to throw a forehand or catch, right? So, for me, that's an automatic entry. Another way that I have been able to connect my life and share Jesus, ready for this? Baseball card collecting. All right, introverts, it's your turn. Baseball card collecting. I love baseball cards. I love baseball. I got into baseball card collecting when I was a kid. I still really enjoy it. It's totally ridiculous. I spend money on little pieces of cardboard. No, on old little pieces of cardboard. Right? Often beat up old little pieces of cardboard with other people's faces and pictures on them. What the heck? How is that exciting? It is for me. That's fine that that's weird. You don't have to run 50K. You don't have to collect baseball cards. However, I am in an online baseball card community, and I really mean community. Like, these are people who have gotten to know very well through the medium of baseball card collecting. And because we have this kind of bizarre obsession in common, that has led to many great conversations about Jesus. Now, you wouldn't think, oh, baseball cards, Jesus, obviously. But it is obvious. Because anybody that God has put in your sphere, he might be trying to reach. How do you know that God's trying to reach somebody? You know them. That's an automatic. Oh my gosh, is God really trying to reach? Do you know them? The answer is yes. Right? Because God's sending someone with his spirit to them. That's you. So clearly God wants to reach the baseball card community. Recently, we had a former member who reapplied for admission after having spent years in the penitentiary for sexual abuse of a child. And suddenly, the fun little baseball card collecting group is something much more serious, and we're having much more serious conversations. And suddenly, I live in Nicaragua. Everybody else lives in the U.S. I'm kind of a fringe member. Suddenly, I'm getting a lot of emails and a lot of, Mike, what do you think about this? And they get to talk about both grace and true justice and the consequences of sin, right? That we offer grace, but consequences actually are real. God does have justice, and how do these go together? And suddenly, what was this silly, trivial thing about old pieces of cardboard is about the gospel. Because my life is open and honest with them, and they know, and I'm always just mentioning, and then suddenly it becomes central. And they get a chance to share with these guys, this is my experience of Jesus in the world. This is my experience with other people I know who have committed this horrible sin. This is what I know about repentance. This is what I know about addiction. Okay? That wasn't a strategy for evangelism. That was because I like baseball cards. But because it's a lifestyle, it flows out of me and it connects. One more story. I have a friend from high school named Carla, and I love Carla. I call her my sister. She calls me her brother. She was a party animal. She refers to the 3 years in Los Angeles that she lost, meaning she was so high that she really doesn't remember almost any of it. She is now a very high-level veterinarian in Chicago, which is really cool. Carla and I have, having been in high school together, in common, and almost nothing else. She also likes baseball. But because we have this history, and because I've chosen to stay in touch with her, and because I've chosen not to judge her lost years or any of the behaviors around that, Carla always contacts me when she needs prayer. Which is really cool because she's not a Jesus follower yet. But I know that God wants to reach her. How do I know that? Because I'm in her life. And because she always emails me asking me for prayer. She was just in surgery this last week. Had to be in surgery, had to be in the hospital for 5 days, and immediately emailed me and said, Mike, brother, I really need you to be praying. And we talked about her fears about that. And we talked about how long she was going to be in the hospital. And then she said, you know, I always write you first. I'm always asking for prayer first. And I just think, this is amazing, right? This is God's love reaching Carla, not because I'm doing anything extraordinary, but simply because we went through high school together. And I've kind of learned that judging people doesn't bear good fruit. But prayer is powerful. Okay? This is not beyond your ability. This is not 50K. This is most of you went to high school with people. And most of you could choose not to judge. All of you could choose not to judge. I'll correct that. Okay, last point. Sharing Jesus comes from loving Jesus. Now, obviously, Loving Jesus is a sermon series, not anything I'm going to be able to complete right here. And I really want to tread lightly here because remember, guilt bears bad fruit. But when Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment? He gave two answers, which were, love God and love your neighbor. Right. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. I think Jesus was giving us everything we need to know about the E word, about sharing Jesus, which is, I need to love Jesus in order for there to be anything to flow out of me. This needs to be the center of my life. All of us who are Christians know that. I had a conversation with a good friend this week who said to me, I know that Jesus needs to be my identity and I need to find all my worth in him. And it was very clear that the subtext was, but that ain't happening. Jesus loves us. My only life is in Jesus. And there are mornings when I forget that and yell at my children and kick the dog and come to my Bible class and grouch at my Bible class. It doesn't make it any less true that Jesus loves me and is the center of my life. So the question is, how do we love Jesus more? And the answer, the kind of funny answer that Jesus gives is, those who have been forgiven little, love little. And those who have been forgiven much, love much. So my simple answer, and again, it's just like exercise. You need to know for yourself, who are you? How do you encounter Jesus? How do you encounter Jesus' love? Mark and Sarah Randall encounter Jesus' love on surfboards. And that's a great way to know Jesus. Do that. Do your thing that connects you with Jesus. And the gospel of grace is, I'm actually a really horrific sinner. And I have been forgiven much. And when I stay rooted in that, when I stay rooted in this, behold, this is what the Lord has done for me, then I feel much more inclined to say, oh my gosh, you need to know. This is what God's done for me. I'm just going to be open about that in the world. Part of my answer for the guy who had sexually abused a kid was, and, no, I've never done that, but I've done some things that I'm pretty dang ashamed of that God's forgiven me for too. And I can have this conversation where I can understand this other person because I am also a forgiven sinner. Those who have been forgiven much, love much. Sharing Jesus is a lifestyle. It's not a strategy, not a technique, not a trick. I'm honestly not even sure that anybody should ever shout in a megaphone at strangers. I don't know. Maybe God uses that too. If that's your thing, I'm sorry. My thing is baseball cards. We just don't need to understand each other. It's all right. But all of us should share Jesus because all of us have been forgiven much. Paul says we are compelled to share Jesus because God is making his appeal through us. And the appeal that God is making is this: you have been forgiven. You have been forgiven, and God made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Know yourself. Know that righteousness and grace in your life. And just live that openly. And honestly in the world. Because God's trying to reach the people you know. Amen.